Today, Israel strikes targets in Iran, but Tehran signals no further retaliation. India heads to the polls in the world's biggest election. Ukraine struggles to manufacture its own weapons as it awaits US aid. And a legal move to prevent big tech monetizing your brainwaves. It's Friday, April 19th. This is Reuters World News, bringing you everything you need to know from the front lines in 10 minutes, every weekday. I'm Kim Vanell in London.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Israel has attacked Iran. Iranian state media says three drones over the central city of Isfahan were shot down. It's Israel's first military response to Iran's weekend attack on Israeli territory, which followed an Israeli attack on Iran's embassy compound in Syria. Tom Perry is in Beirut.
So far, Israel has yet to issue any official comment about what's happened. The latest we've had from Iran is that a senior Iranian official has told Reuters that Iran has no plan for immediate retaliation.
Do we know if there's been any damage?
There have been no reports of any damage from Iran thus far.
How did Iran react to the attack?
So Iran did close its airports in Tehran, Shiraz, and Isfahan after the attack, and also cleared flights from the western part of its airspace for a few hours. But by 0445 GMT, so a few hours ago, these airports and airspace had been reopened.
What should we take away then from this latest development?
From Iran, it's notable that state broadcasts have appeared to be playing down the scale of the incident. They've carried comments from pundits and analysts who have appeared to be very dismissive about the scale of what's happened. We get to see whether or not today's attack really draws a line under this tit-for-tat violence. But what we have seen this month is that the shadow war has definitely moved into a new phase.
The escalation has spooked financial markets. Here's Carmel Crimmins.
Oil surged and shares and bond yields sank on the initial reports of the Israeli attack. But the market reaction moderated after Iranian media appeared to play down the impact of the strikes. Brent crude, for example, initially jumped above $90 a barrel on concerns that the potential for a wider conflict would hurt supplies. But it's currently trading around $88 a barrel. And US stock futures are about 1% lower, after initially sliding 1.7%.
Voters in line to cast their ballots in the world's largest election as India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi runs for an historic third term. There are some 968 million eligible voters in India. That's more than the populations of the US, the EU, and Russia combined. Votes will be counted on June 4th. To find out everything you need to know about this mammoth democratic exercise and the personalities and issues at play, tune in for our India election special episode this weekend. Lawyers have chosen the 12 jurors who will serve on Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York. The 12 men and women will decide the former president's guilt or innocence on charges stemming from a hush money payment made to a porn star before the 2016 election. Two jurors were dismissed Thursday, one excused after she said she felt intimidated because some personal information had been made public. Protesters heckle as police arrest pro-Palestinian demonstrators on the campus of Columbia University. More than 100 were detained after the university called in the police to clear an encampment of tents. Apple says it's removed WhatsApp and Threads from its App Store in China after being ordered to do so by the Chinese government. The iPhone maker also removed the messaging services Telegram and Signal after Beijing raised security concerns. Here's an endorsement that's got to sting.
That's right, the Kennedy family endorses Joe Biden for president.
15 members of the Kennedy family endorsed President Joe Biden Thursday over Robert F. Kennedy, who's mounted an independent bid for office. And a Friday treat for all the Swifties out there, the new album, The Tortured Poets Department, is officially out. It's a surprise double album with a whopping 31 songs. The US House is poised to end a months-long stalemate over aid to Ukraine. The long-stalled measure is one of four that the House of Representatives will vote on this Saturday. The delay has had a significant impact on Ukraine's ability to defend itself from Russia's onslaught. In the meantime, Ukraine's been trying to ramp up its domestic production of weapons. A flourishing arms sector has sprung up. But the cash-strapped country is struggling to fund this manufacturing as it seeks more weapons from allies. Max Hunter recently visited some of the shops making their own weapons.
So we visited the factory. We're not allowed to say where it was. There were very many things we're not actually allowed to say about it because of the massive security fears of a missile strike. But yeah, we saw people making mortars, people making big armoured vehicles that then go off and are used at the front.
How does foreign aid come into the picture here, Max? Does Ukraine need weapons or cash to build them, or both?
The scale of the demand for arms of all sorts is just colossal. And Ukraine is trying to, between state manufacturers and private manufacturers, lots of which have sprung up, is trying to fill as much of that need as it can. But of course, the problem is that it costs money to build weapons, and Ukraine is a country that didn't actually have a great deal of money per capita when the war started and has even less now.
What are the risks that come with trying to make weapons during a full-scale war?
The biggest risk to manufacturers is that of missile or drone strikes. And as a result, that means that manufacturers have to be extraordinarily cautious. Some manufacturers move factories basically once every few months. It's an extraordinarily costly process. It brings down their manufacturing capacity because it makes logistics harder. But that's just something you have to do in this sort of situation. Also, there might be a problem soon with power supply because Russia is just destroying Ukraine's energy grid right now. And although weapons makers are a priority for electricity, you could get to a situation where there's just not enough power even for them.
What goes on in your brain is your business. That's the message from Colorado lawmakers. They've passed a law extending privacy rights to your neural data. It comes as companies including Meta and Elon Musk's Neuralink develop technology that taps into brainwaves. Our national affairs reporter, Brad Brooks, has been looking into the new law. Brad, this really sounds like science fiction. How close are we to seeing companies use our brainwaves for profit?
Well, there are already several consumer products out there that use our brainwaves. They range from like headbands that read your brainwaves that allow you to control a drone, that interprets your brainwaves while you're scrolling through dating apps. There are several applications out there already, and it's really just the Wild West when it comes to data protections for brainwaves. Until this Colorado law was passed, there was just really nothing to protect consumers from companies gathering it and using it however they want.
What could these companies do with the information they're gathering?
Well, the supporters of this bill, their biggest worry is that the brainwave activity could be used to identify people against their will. It could also be used to indicate if a person is suffering from various types of illnesses. It could allow companies to know exactly what you're thinking and what you're feeling.
That's it for Friday. Time to give everyone's brains a rest this weekend. Before you power down, though, we have one small request. We'd love it if you take a moment to answer our very short survey. We really want to make our podcasts better for you. We'll put a link to that in the description. It only takes 5 minutes. And remember to keep an ear out for our special episode on India's election this weekend. We'll be back with our daily show on Monday. To make sure you never miss any of our updates, subscribe on your favorite podcast player or download the Reuters app.